Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, and online here is Tony Gosling from Bristol, England. Welcome to our program again, Tony.
Hi, George. Lovely to hear from you and more than happy to contribute.
All right. Yeah. What's going on in Merry England now? I understand Boris Johnson is Ofcom. He's supporting Ofcom. Is that right or is that a rumor?
In what case?
Well, I'm thinking that, Ofcom is that regulatory commission over there now, agency that's doing all the communications, and there was an article about him supporting that or being in favor of it, whatever. Is that accurate?
Well, they're going to get more power over social media. That's one thing
right.
That's been going on
right,
over here.
Right, okay.
I think it's because there is a lot of dispute about whether social media really is like the Wild West, you know, a law unto itself. But I think the main thing we have in the news about Boris is really him cancelling his trip to the United States, which is quite a serious rift.
Yeah, what's going on there? Tell us about that.
Well, because what we've had is this whole position of Huawei. In the United States, there is a big great deal of pressure from Trump and from the American corporations to force the British not to accept Huawei. So not to accept the Huawei as part of their mobile data network. Now, there's a lot of Huawei in our system.
Yeah, you're sort of dropping out on me a little bit there.
I think, George, you sound to me like you're kind of wild, out and about somewhere.
Yeah, I'm outside right now. I'm participating in a 5K walk right now. Yeah, and we're doing it. There's a group here in Austin that feeds the homeless. They've been doing it about over 12, 14 years. And, we're out here raising money for that and doing a 5K walk run thing.
We were looking at this last week, really, which was President Trump having a conversation with Boris Johnson about the British security services saying that they wanted to accept Huawei. And they wanted this technology, this hardware as part of the British system. Now, you know, the backdrop of this is that the Americans do not want Britain to take Huawei. They don't want anyone to be using this equipment.
And right.
And okay. Trade war.
Oh, man.
Well, you see, there's a trade war going on, and the Americans don't want China. In fact, there's even some who are saying that the coronavirus in Wuhan has been deliberately planted by the Americans or somebody working for the Americans, possibly Israelis or Brits, deliberately to disrupt the Chinese economy. I don't know if you've been hearing that in the United States as well, George.
Well, I believe that might be a possibility. We're talking about different ideas of who started that, you know. We're thinking the level 4 bio lab there out of Wuhan was highly suspect. And, of course, there's a secret lab that was set up by this Lieber guy at the University of Wuhan. So there's just a lot going on about who did that, but I don't have any evidence of that yet. I don't think anyone does.
I mean, as a journalist, well, there is some evidence around. So just as a journalist, I would be immediately saying, is this a natural occurrence or is it man-made?
Definitely man-made, yeah.
Well, particularly when we are being told by the mainstream press that it's a natural occurrence, that it's jumping species barriers between bats and humans or pigs and humans or something. And this, I'm afraid, if you talk to any virologist who is an expert in the area, they'll say this is very, very rare. So it may simply be that it is more likely that it's a man-made virus than anything else. So the question is, if it is man-made, who made it?
Exactly. Paul Cottrell out of Harvard, Dr. Cottrell, is saying that it's got different coding in it. Some of it's SARS, some of it's HIV, and then there's some kind of a helper coating in there. Plus, there's an unknown 1,375 pairs of coating that they don't know what that does yet. So it's definitely complex and man-made.
Well, I think there always has to be, I mean, because I'm not an expert, there always has to be a bit of an open question there. But it's what disturbs me most, George, is that the mainstream press is not looking into this. We should be seeing on our TV screens and on listening on our radio to our mainstream press investigating this question and coming up with the evidence for one side and the other.
They're simply exactly.
They're ignoring this question. And whenever this happens, then I always suspect the worst. And in fact, I suspect that the mainstream press are just lying to us about what's happening.
Yes,
when they don't
so.
Do what you would hope and expect them to do. The other right. aspect of this is that the only person in Britain who's been a, what they call a super carrier, and has infected 12 people here in the UK. He came from China to France and then here to Britain and ended up in Brighton. We've been speaking to his next door neighbour, who's spoken to his wife and been emailing with him in his confinement. I mean, they basically put him away for 2 weeks in a kind of, what do they call it? Where they just put you away in solitary confinement for a couple of weeks. To stop you contaminating anybody else. I'm sure everyone listening can tell exactly the word I'm looking for, but for some reason it's not popping into my mind. So anyway,
okay.
what they do is they put you away for a couple of weeks. Anyway, so he had very, very mild cold symptoms, okay? So very, very little effect on him at all. And yet this virus is raging and ravaging cities in China. So
yes.
The other question one must ask is if it hardly affects a British guy at all, and yet it's killing people in over in China, is this a genetic disease?
Yeah, I know the point you're making there.
Ethnically targeted, that is possible. I mean, you know, it's no reason why that is something that we should not be looking at, because we should look at that sort of thing.
Right. There was a cluster in Germany that Henry Niemann had been from recombinomics.co. Recombinomics.co says that there was some very mild. There was a woman came in from Shanghai to Germany and infected some of her work crew over there in Germany. And some of the manifestations were very mild, like you're describing, versus a very, very deadly strain of it. See what I mean?
Yeah. I mean
so there are different strains.
Yeah, the other thing is, I would suggest, I mean, the evidence is there from New Delhi University's Center for Virology in India, that they are saying that there are 4 implants into this virus, so what they call insertions.
Yes, exactly.
And that those insertions are HIV-related. Now, that means, if this is correct, this report, that means that the virus is targeting your T-cells. These are basically your immune system, to
yes.
disable your immune system. So that
yes.
would obviously, you know, then you will become more vulnerable to any other disease that you catch. And, you know, it can even turn something which might be fairly mild that your body can cope with into a killer disease, because your immune system is disabled by
right.
this virus. At least that's what they're saying. So, you know, the T cells are what we use to cope with various types of infections in our bodies. And
right. There was a report coming in out of Thailand early, and Thailand had 19 infected patients, and they started treating some of those patients with HIV, AIDS medications, and cured about 7 of them.
Yeah, well, that would suggest that this is correct, then. That actually what you're dealing with here is a virus which has had the AIDS inserted into it. So deliberately targeted virus. Anyway, I think, you know, what we're looking at here is potentially a kind of live test, live experiment on Chinese people, with the design to really sit in parallel with the trade war against China, because it's had an enormous economic effect on China, of course, already, with having to shut down cities and put loads of people into quarantine. Quarantine is that word I was looking for earlier. And this is potentially an act of war. Now, the difficulty is, George, for the Chinese authorities to actually say that. because they can't say this is an act of war. But they must do the opposite, because if they were to say that, they would almost certainly get demands for retribution. And amongst the Chinese population, you would get inflame an enormous amount of anger, and also they would believe that they're under some sort of biological warfare attack. This is going to be extremely inflammatory. But I have to say, despite the authoritarian problems that there are with China, that the President Xi and the Chinese authorities seem to have been dealing with this very well. So in other words, trying to make sure it doesn't spread outside the country.
Right. With an authoritarian political system, they can deal with it better than most countries can. That's what they're doing now.
Exactly. There is, of course, another downside to all of this in that, you know, there's a lot of people who are being put into forced quarantine for several weeks. There's also things like tagging. So if you get caught with a high temperature, you get tested and they find that you may have caught this, then you suddenly get put on a tag system and you can be arrested if you walk out of your front door, this sort of thing. So there's a lot of authoritarian sides to this. But I mean, I think most people will understand that you do have to control the population. You do have to give some very clear direction to people in that sort of situation. Anyway, so that's been happening. The other thing, of course, that's been going on over the last week or so is the battles in Idlib in Syria. Is it okay if I talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Tony.
Because Idlib in Syria, northwest Syria, of course, Syria has for many, many years been under colonial influences, right? First it was the French. Then around World War II time, the Russians moved in and the Syrians welcomed the Russians because they could see, particularly with the Israeli state next door and other influences by the United States and Britain and the NATO countries in the Middle East, that the Russians were going to be a better bet. So the Russians have been a far less colonial power, but a colonial power nevertheless, because they've got their naval base in Tarsus, and they've got also air bases, and they've got armed forces based there. So the Russians, of course, have been backing up Syrian government. And in Idlib, what we've seen is an extraordinary situation where they're just about to mop up the last of these ISIS terrorists in Syria in the north.
Right.
And the what they call the Al-Sham terrorists, which is a perfect way of calling them, because of course they are a sham. They're a sham army of mercenaries,
right,
which are paid for through Swiss banks by basically slush funds from the MI6, the CIA, and the Western Intelligence Service.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's the most appropriate name of any kind of terrorist group ever, Al-Sham. So these guys have been in Idlib. They're about to be squashed and finished and mopped up by the Syrian Arab army with a bit of help from the Russians in the air. And what do we find? We find the Turkish army charging across down into Idlib and making sure that not only have they got fresh ammunition for the terrorists, fresh arms for the terrorists, but also fresh mercenaries for the terrorists to be resupplied down into Idlib. So what's going on with Turkey is absolutely disgusting and appalling. And in fact, what he's doing, Erdogan, is he's threatening Assad in his own country. He's saying, if you come anywhere near my soldiers, mate, you're going to get it, and we're going to have ourselves a little war down here. Now, this is the sort of thing that should be really splashed all across the headlines, because mostly because of the effect on all the civilians in Idlib here. Now, what was expected was that there would be a short battle and that there would be a few civilian casualties. What's happening is there's been a mass exodus of civilians because of the Turkish backing for the terrorists in the town. That there's a big fight going on rather than it being a little mopping up operation.
Right.
So if you can imagine, you know, say the Nazis massively reinforcing Paris, just as the Allies are sweeping across Western Europe in World War II, rather than evacuating Paris, so you get a massive fight rather than the city is relatively intact as it's finished off. So that's what's happening in Idlib, and we've got NATO, and we've got Erdogan, and we've got Turkey. Very obviously, in plain sight to anyone that bothers to look, supporting the last remnants of ISIS and al-Sham in Idlib. Absolutely incredible, and it's not really been reported. I don't know about... all we've got here, George, in the propaganda mass media, is we've got loads of pictures of civilians. Isn't it terrible what the Russians and what the Syrians are doing to the poor civilians of Idlib? And the only thing is they don't mention once the fact that they wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for the NATO-Turkish intruders... occupiers into Syria, supplying and supporting them. So the massive scandal of the week, of course, as usual in this Orwellian world we live in now, is not reported at all on our hypnosis mass media.
Right, exactly. Good reporting there, Tony. And I've been watching your program there. And how do we get to your program? Tell our listening audience.
Okay, well, just one more story before I finish, and that is
go ahead.
The debacle between Airbus and it's a little bit like the Huawei.
It's really not competitive
in international markets with their telecommunications technology. The Chinese are doing better and cheaper than the Americans now, and so there's a real attempt to undercut. Somehow to undercut the Americans, and it's been very successful and with better products too. Same, I'm afraid, is happening in the airline world with Airbus and Boeing. So Boeing are now begging the bank for a $10 billion loan. Let me repeat that, a $10 billion loan in order to carry on operating as a company. So basically Boeing is bankrupt, Boeing is bust, and they're begging for money to keep operating. The problem here is that, of course, they've installed this horrendous software on the Boeing 737 MAX, which led to two crashes. And, you know, it seems obvious to me, and it is obvious to pilots, if you speak to them, they want a button they can press. If the automatic pilot, or whatever it is that's flying the plane, goes wrong, they want to be able to press a button, disengage it, start flying the plane again. They didn't do that at Boeing, and so those pilots were struggling with the controls, and these two aircraft last year crashed, the 737 Maxi. Now, this has led to a complete collapse of Boeing's business. So there's loads of pilots and these planes grounded, and Boeing are not making any planes that they built. So they're basically bankrupt, George. And so what's happening with Trump? He's saying, oh, they're now threatening Airbus with sanctions for anyone that buys Airbuses. Now, this is no way to behave, because it's actually Boeing who are at fault here. And much as we'd like to see Boeing sell some airplanes, there's no point in Boeing trying to sell planes which crash. So the failings at Boeing and the safety failings in the 737 MAX have really put Airbus into the news. In fact, last year was the first year that more Airbus aircraft were sold than Boeing's. And so, anyway, all I say is it may be the end for Boeing. What bank is going to lend Boeing $10 billion when they cannot even guarantee that any of these scores of 737 MAX that they've manufactured are ever going to be allowed to fly? So, see what's happened. They've built all these aircraft, but they're just not, it looks as if they may never be allowed to fly, George. And then quick enough, putting them into an airworthy situation. So I think this is a massive story. Another one, of course, which the mass media are turning a blind eye to because of the implications economically for the US economy if Boeing goes bust are enormous. And these are the sorts of stories that they shy away from because of the financial implications.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Baltic Index is way off from September, and world trade is way down. So we've got a world, we're in recession worldwide on world trade right now.
The unfortunate thing is, of course, when the Great Depression happened in the early 30s, that led to World War II. So let's just do everything we can to make sure that this current trade war and depression does not lead to World War III.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you for being with us this evening, Tony. You put out some really excellent information for our listening audience. I appreciate everything you're doing over there. Okay?
You can pick up our stuff at thisweek.org.uk. That's thisweek, one word, .org. Okay. .uk. I've got a couple of other websites. There's the Bilderberg website, which Google is trying to bury, but that's www.bilderberg.com. Bilderberg.org. It'd be interesting to speculate on where this year's Bilderberg meeting is going to be. And then the other one is the 9/11 Forum, which has got a whole load of discussion about all sorts of stuff to do with 9/11 and also loads of assassinations and everything, every country in the world pretty much. Big discussion list on there. That's 911forum.org.uk. That's the letter 9, 1 and 1, and then the word forum.org.uk.
Okay.
So thanks ever so much for
having Tony, me. Thank you very much. Okay.
God bless you. God bless you over in Austin there. Thanks very much for calling me.
God bless you, Tony. Good night.